As always, we're grateful to everyone who's deciding to join us here today, whether you're listening live or through the archives, as we spend another couple of hours teaching and supporting people in using some of the most powerful, effective, efficient, and accessible tools I've ever encountered. These tools are available absolutely free through the tireless efforts of Dr. Michael and Jeannie Rice on the website at whyagain.org. If you go to that website and click the two words that say start here in the upper left-hand corner, it will take you to a page where you can download and read chapter 24 of Dr. Michael Rice's book. His book is titled, Why Is This Happening to Me Again? And that chapter of that book contains a narrative description and explanation of the primary tool in this work. That tool is called the Reality Management Worksheet, sometimes called the Reality Management Wake-Up Sheet. And it's a tool I've been using to great effect for over 19 years now to improve the quality of my life and most of my relationships, and to turn any negative emotional experience I have into part of the infallible guidance system that each and every one of us has been given. You can also go to your app store and type in the three words, Heartland Aramaic Forgiveness. And that will let you download a completely free and private app if you click on the glowing heart icon. And that app contains the Reality Management Worksheet. It contains an abbreviated version of the worksheet process. And it contains a copy of the Dragon Klingon game, which is a wonderful way to introduce these tools to even younger audiences. We hope people do all of that soon and often, primarily because it tends to improve the quality of people's lives the more they actually apply those tools in their lives, and secondarily, it tends to prompt comments, questions, answers, and testimonials. If you have any of those to share with us, we'd appreciate you doing so. And I don't know how, but you can send us an email at tjh@mindshiftingacademy.org, or you can email Jeannie at jeannie at whyagain.org. That's whyagain.org. And Jeannie might come on and tell you how you could connect with us on Podbean. So,
is that better?
That better is all I heard.
Okay. So if you are signed into Podbean, I can hear myself echo. And if you're on the live show, there's a chat room. You can talk to us there. Or you can click that you want to call in, and it'll open up your mic. This is new for us, and we apologize.
All right, so here we are. Where we left off yesterday was reading in the way of mastery, which is going to be quite the challenge today. The idea of holding my phone and reading, if I do that. It's also flying blind because I can't tell if there are any callers on or if there's comments in a chat room. So
I'll be glad to read them.
Okay. I think you might be talking before your mic clicks in, so I'm getting like a half a sentence. So I will just assume that someone can hear me, and I should, and there's some kind of sound quality coming through. And I'll go back to taking a look at where we left off reading in lesson 13 from The Way of Mastery yesterday. We're looking at The Way of Mastery because it helps us with a whole bunch of tools, exercises, thought exercises, etc., observations, it helps us recognize what we have valued more than we value love or peace or compassion. And what this first lesson in the second book, what the second book is called, The Way of Transformation, the first lesson reminds us that you are unlimited spirit and you are calling to yourself your experiences. And it just goes back to right where they started in the first lesson to remind us at even deeper levels that there is a larger spiritual being that your conscious logical mind has access to. And if you're having an experience where you see somebody being loving or doing a healing or having some phenomenal success in business or in helping others, you're calling that into your awareness as a reminder that you have access to the very same stuff. You have the ability to heal. You have the ability to access great intelligence. And so the next section in this lesson is titled Cultivating Unlimited Consciousness. And the text reads, as we enter into these lessons on transformation, you will discover that we begin to speak more directly to you. We will not be, quote, beating around the bush, close quotes. We will not be placating your resistance and your fears. We will not be feeding into your dramas that you've created that seem to separate you from the truth of your beingness. For as we move into the way of transformation, the call is being sent from us to you, the call to arise and assume complete responsibility for all that you see, all that you think, and all that you choose. Rest assured, if you hear this call, it is because a deeper part of you has called it to you as a way by which you remember that these things are already contained within you. The way of transformation is the way of assuming responsibility for time, for each and every moment of time. Time is not a prison for you. Time is that which flows out of your very consciousness, and there is never a place or a time. This is so important, it repeats it and says, never a place or a time which is more conducive to the way of transformation than the place in which you are and the time that is now. There is no one without privilege. There is no one by their station in life, as the world would see it, who is limited from watering and cultivating and bringing forth the fruit that rests within their unlimited consciousness. There is no one who is a victim of the world they see. For the world they see truly occurs nowhere save within the field of their awareness, which we call the consciousness or mind. The buildings, the automobiles you drive, the dollars in the bank, none of that is real. They're merely symbols of the quality of experience you've chosen to call to yourself as a temporary learning experience. Beloved friends, use time wisely. Ask yourself, am I fully committed to transforming my awareness from one who has been sleeping, one who has been perceiving himself or herself as limited, to the space and time dimension? Or am I committed to truly hearing my brother's call to take up my cross and follow him? That is, the cross of crucifixion, the heavy wooden cross that you've been carrying around that says, quote, well, I'm really struggling and trying to get to Christed consciousness, but maybe if I just got rid of my husband, that would do it. Or perhaps if I moved to another location, that would do it. Maybe there's a spiritual technique out there that I haven't found yet in the smorgasbord of what's available. Once I find it and start practicing it, then I can get on with it. Close quotes. That's not the way this works. You are in the holiest of temples, your capital S self. You abide in the perfect moment for your own transformation. Nothing limits you at all or at any time. The power of the freedom of choice is the essence of Christ. And the very power that you've been using to try to convince yourself of your limitations is exactly the same power that I used to overcome death. There is no difference, except a wink of an eye, an intention, a commitment, a recognition. That is all. In reality, nothing is impossible to you and nothing unavailable to you. So what occurs in the consciousness that seems to create the blockage, the obstacle to love's presence? As you create a temporary perceived limitation as a way to call to you a certain quality of experience, there's a tendency to fall into the trap of identifying yourself with the constraints that you've set up within your unlimited freedom in order to have a temporary learning experience. This is exactly what they talk about in A Walk in the Physical with Christian Sundberg. Many different traditions say your one good way to think about your purpose for being here is to get better and better, to get stronger and stronger at being able to choose for love in more and more challenging life situations. That's exactly what they're talking about here. As you create a temporary perceived limitation as a way to call to you a certain quality of experience, there's a tendency to fall into the trap of identifying yourself with the constraints that you've set up from that seem to separate you from your unlimited freedom in order to have a temporary learning experience. When in your consciousness you come to be identified with the boundaries or the constraints, you might call it the lines upon the canvas that you have freely chosen to draw. And when that happens, you identify with them, you create an imprisonment. That imprisonment is actually a complete illusion. And in your reality, your unlimited self goes on experiencing anything it wants throughout all dimensions of creation. So, time to check and see if we're being heard. If you're on the Podbean app and you're in the chat room, let's see if this is actually getting broadcast through Podbean. Jeannie, it says your call ended, and that's why I'm pausing to see if there's any way to get feedback here. I would almost automatically, I almost gave out the call-in number, which I don't think is valid because we're trying to do Podbean. And I just tried to type something in the chat room and it says, I can't because I need to verify my email. So here we are, having fun on a Tuesday. Is someone there?
Dr. Tim, can you hear me?
Yes, who's this?
This is Susan Bingham.
Susan Bingham, how the heck are we talking?
I don't know. I had a lot of trouble getting on too. Jeannie had to send me texts telling me to look for a heart icon, which didn't present itself when you open Podbean. You have to do a search and then it will come up. So, and then this page came up that somehow allowed me to get onto this thing. I think we're going to have some rough and bumpy times before we get used to this. But so, I was listening to you the whole time. I came on late, but you sound fine.
Okay, I was going to ask how the sound quality is. And
excellent.
Yeah, so, you know, what they're telling us is we're creating this with our consciousness right now. So we're just novices at creating the Podbean experience.
Right.
So you're just on a cell phone calling in?
I'm on my iPhone, the way I always call in.
Okay. Amazing. Amazing. Well, thanks for letting me know. There's no echo when you're on, so I guess you can just hang out and listen. And do you have also on your phone a place where you can type in a chat?
I'm looking at something that says Susan B. joined the room. Caller Susan is live. Jeanette Shaw joined the room. Caller Jeanette Shaw is live. So something's happening. And yes, I think I see, input your message at the bottom. There's a slot the way there is on messages, you know, your message app.
And it won't let me do that because it keeps trying to send me a verification email and kick me out of the app. So
sure, great.
So Jeannie, are you there? Can you be heard?
Can you hear me?
Yes, you're quite faint, but I can hear you.
Oh, okay. I don't know why it's faint because I can hear you all very clearly.
Susan, is she faint for you as well?
Very faint. I wouldn't have even heard she was on.
Yeah. So don't say anything really important until we find a way to pump up the volume.
Okay.
Now that was a rustling of noise. Was that you, Susan B?
It probably was. I'm looking for a mute button. I'm wearing my hearing aids and have a hat on. So if I turn my head, you're going to hear all kinds of noise. Oh.
Yeah, where I'm sitting, I don't have any option for muting you, so.
I'll be quiet as I can.
Jeannie found a way to mute herself. And so I just tapped the heart button and it let me send some hearts floating through the chat area, but it won't let me type a message.
I just saw the hearts. I'm going to try pressing a little live telephone on the right middle side and see if I'm muted. So I'm doing it. No, that was a hang up button.
Okay. All right. Well, I suppose we should just keep going and reading. And if you've got a comment or question, just speak up.
Okay.
And this last bit I read, to my eye and ear, sounds exactly like what is happening in the book A Walk in the Physical with Christian Sundberg. The idea that we are creating an imprisonment for ourselves by believing we're separate. Mm. And we're kind of drawing lines with our consciousness that let us feel a stronger and stronger challenge to being love. And Christian Sundberg says, that's like going to a gym and starting to lift weights. You start with light weights and you build up the muscle, and then you start with a little heavier weights and you build up some more muscle. And that's what we're doing, from one way of thinking about it, when we choose to come into the physical realm. We're working to be able to get better and better at choosing for love in more and more difficult circumstances or more and more challenging constraint sets.
Mm.
And in the way of mastery, lesson 13, the text goes on to say, your belief that you are defined by the lines you have drawn in the field of consciousness, which is just like the pebbles you've dropped and the ripples you've created from lesson 8 and 9 in the way of mastery. This is just a construct in your reality. It's a constriction and a density and a conflict. It's occurring nowhere but in your being, except in that part of you that has extended itself like a sunbeam from the sun into what you call your space-time dimension. Now think about this. If you feel constrained in this dimension, it does not mean that you are constrained. It means only that you have chosen to use your power of creation, your conscious mind, your mind energy, as Michael Rice would call it, to create the experience of being constrained. It simply means that one tiny ray of your light is temporarily having a certain kind of experience here in the physical realm. And if you trace that ray of light back to its capital S source, you find something brighter than 10,000 of your suns, something far more vast than the sun, which lights your physical universe, something so vast that out of it has come forth a multitude of universes. That light of your soul, pure spirit, remains undefiled and unlimited. That tiny ray that you identify with as being your whole self can become aware of the whole. And that is the process of awakening. It doesn't really change anything at all, since you begin to become identified not with the tiny little ray that's having a temporary experience, but you begin to become identified with the field out of which that very power to experience the space-time dimension is coming forth. You are that part of the one mind. You have access to all minds. You can create infinitely. The text goes on and says, imagine shifting your identity so that you are the ocean from which a multitude of waves are coming forth and continually coming forth. Each one slightly different, each one a little larger or smaller, each one a little faster, each one with a little more foam or a little less foam on it than the other. These are the very temporary dancing waves being emitted from a field or an ocean of water, consciousness that knows neither beginning nor end, and whose farthest shores cannot be discovered. That is your true self. Not the tiny wave that has a name and a history of being born at a certain time and living in a certain house or in a city. That is certainly never what you call yourself as a banker or a teacher, a mother or a father. None of these things are what you are. You are pure spirit. That's the title of this lesson. You are consciousness expanding. The text goes on and reads, "The way of transformation is much simpler than you think. But again, it rests on your decision to use time to be totally committed to awakening from the narrow constraints you have placed upon your vast field of consciousness. You've done that for no other reason than that it might be rather entertaining to allow this tiny little ray to continue in space and time for a while, at the same time being aware of the totality of your larger capital S self and actually operating from that totality. The question is, can you imagine living like that? Can you imagine your body mind driving its little automobile down the road, but every time you pull up to a red light and you notice someone next to you, you do not perceive another body? You will still see the automobile and you will still see the body, but what you are feeling, what you are knowing, and what you are seeing in totality is that this is an infinite field of consciousness, just like you are. And that their mind and the field of their mind touches yours throughout all dimensions. And that you are Christ and you can transmit wisdom and love to them. You can learn to direct energies. You might see it as a certain color. You can touch their field, their auric field. You can send healing to the organs of the body that you can see are perhaps a little out of whack. You can be the embodiment in space and time of that capital S self that is so vast, so grand, so filled with extraordinary power that all you can do is smile. Perhaps it's unseen and unrecognized by those who themselves have become unwittingly identified with that little tiny drop of foam, which is part of the wave, which is part of the ocean of their true self. But what they choose does not influence your choice. Listen very carefully. What another chooses does not influence your choice at all, even when it seems like it. It's not even accurate to say, quote, "Oh, well, I fell under the influence of so-and-so and so-and-so. I went a little unconscious. That's why it happened. I just gave up myself," close quotes. No, no, no. In every moment of your experience, what you experience is coming from within you. It's not placed in you from a source outside of yourself. In every moment, you remain free to observe and to notice whether you're having a good time being where you are. That is, being in your perception of life and recognizing that you have the power to think differently. For example, quote, "Oh, that's right. I'm not in a traffic jam. There is no such thing as traffic and a traffic jam. Everything is perfect. There is a giant weaving together of experiences of infinite souls. So while I sit here in this little car with this funny little body, I'm going to be Christ. I'm going to tap into what's going on around the edges of my awareness. I will feel the thoughts of anyone I choose to direct attention to. And from the depth of my being, I will direct love to them. I can choose to be the truth of who I am. The red light, the automobiles, all jangled together, these things do not create my experience. My experience is flowing from within. It is being extended outward, close quotes. So again, lesson 13, the first lesson in the Way of Transformation as a separate book, or lesson 13 in the big blue book called The Way of Mastery, is bringing us back to examine, to observe for ourselves, to question anew over and over again, what are we doing that's creating our experience of life? Everything from what we see with what we call the physical eyes to what we experience in terms of thoughts and emotions. And this is an invitation to awaken to the truth of your true nature. It's just a little bit more, you might say, you know, they're turning the pressure up a little bit from what they were doing in the first lesson. So, does that make sense, Susan? You still there?
I'm still here. Yep. I can't find it right now, but I've been doing this two-way prayer, and this morning the idea came to me that, yes, we're not separate, but since we've taken on different bodies, we will notice many differences, and we will have a lot of feelings about some things and not others. But the idea came that I should just, you know, honor those as God expressing God's self in lots of different ways, having fun, some things working out better than others, but that we can step away and allow ourselves to be more drawn to some kinds of manifestations than others and not beat ourselves up about it, which is where I tend to go, as you know, just getting into blaming and finding it harder to hold a loving space for one person over another. But just to say that it's all really to be allowed and be interested in, and then let go and just do the best we can. So I was very interested in that part of what you were reading from. That was Sundberg, though, wasn't it? Or were you just saying that this reminds you of Sundberg?
That was my commentary about how what's happening in the Way of Mastery Lesson 13 is just slightly different words for the very same dynamic that Christian Sundberg calls us to in his book, Walk in the Physical.
Yeah.
And, you know, it is, it's an extraordinary challenge for most of us to accept life on life's terms. From the Daily Om today, it says, remember, things we cannot control. And then it says, we develop grace as we learn with the guiding hand of the universe that life will unfold exactly the way it should. Hmm. Now, how many people do you know who've been experiencing their life recently who are willing to say, oh yes, life is unfolding exactly the way it should?
Yeah. Not very many.
I don't know any. Mm-mm. I don't know anybody. Because everybody I know has had people they love die. They've had financial challenges. They're having physical aches and pains as they get older. They have people they know should not be running the government, and they know that there shouldn't be wars, and they know children who've been kidnapped, and it just goes on and on and on. So in that, you know, with the recognition that I don't know anybody who can say, oh yes, I absolutely feel like life is unfolding just the way it should. But this idea of trusting the universe is popular in these spiritual circles. And yet, I don't know anybody who does it all day, every day on a regular basis. I know that I try. I know several other people that try.
Byron Katie has a teeny tweak on that. She steps away from, she steps into the observer that's observing what just happened. And she says, it's the way it should be because it already happened.
Exactly.
But I'm thinking that is much easier to accept because I can't imagine God standing around orchestrating things to come out just the way they're coming out. You know, I don't know if I can make myself clear, but it seems as if God too has to accept it because it happened.
Okay, so look at it this way. What you're doing right now, what you and I are doing, is we're using words directed by our, what Michael called the 9-bit mind, right? Our conscious logical mind, which we know is maybe 1/1,000,000th as powerful as the unconscious, which has no capacity to create universe upon universe upon universe the way we're told that our consciousness itself does. So now, as you try to conceptualize a God, you have to do it within the framework of what you know about human thought. And your experience in the physical world. And so you're not likely to have much success. So instead, what's recommended is you use that conscious logical mind once in a while as a very simple tool. But your primary way of interacting with life is your heart space and asking to be taught by the flow of life, asking to lead with love, intuition, inspiration, whatever you want to call it. That's what this work, the Way of Mastery, is calling us to. It's not calling us to figure this out and to understand how life is working out just the way it should. It's calling us to learn to interact with life from this loving heart space and understand that that conscious logical mind is extraordinarily limited in what we comprehend. And so I'm not going to try to figure it out. I'm just going to ask to be taught by life. Teach me. You know, I that wasn't too long ago on the show that I shared. A number of years ago, I had a very, very bright 16-year-old in my office. And he was trying to make sense of the world. There were all kinds of unpleasant things happening, suicidal ideation and stuff like that. But he hooked up with a church group and they had him, they gave him a prayer he really liked. And it was something to the effect of, God, please give me a sign that I'm on the right track or that you're here with me. And so I did something I almost never do, and that is I took a chance and I gave him a different thing to pray for. I don't like to mess with or override anybody's spiritual teachings from any church, but I said in this one case I was moved to give him a different prayer, and I said, instead of praying for God to show you a sign or give you a sign that you're on the right track or that God is with you, since they teach you at that church that God is everywhere and God is love and all of this, start praying to see all the signs that are already happening.
Nice.
Start praying to be able to see how you are a gift in this world and how you might be a blessing to yourself and others and how everything is unfolding in a way that even if your conscious logical mind can't grasp it or understand how it's okay or good or going to lead to something better, that instead of struggling with that at the conscious logical level, ask to be shown how it's already better than you could imagine.
How did you take that?
You know, with a grain of salt, I think, but it was what I was moved to share with him at the time. Mm. I mean, it's a grand idea when you're sitting in a therapist's office and there's no crisis in front of you.
Right.
But you know, the old, saying that there are no atheists in foxholes?
Right.
So when the rubber hits the road and the next time something happens in his life that isn't what he wanted or what he thinks should happen, who knows how well that's going to pan out. Mm. But this is a process because I have to undo the conditioning that I've been, you know, powered into, or that's been powered into me for decades before I first encountered thoughts like this or observations like this. So it's not gonna just happen with one little day of wishful thinking or focusing on positive prayer. Because there's a big part of me that believes my mind is powerful and intelligent and it knows what's right and what's wrong. Mm. There's a big part of me that hasn't fully stepped into the realization that the way of mastery offers us, that says, you know, the intellect is just shoved full of garbage like a garbage can. It's full of trivialities. It's full of constructs of the conscious logical mind. It's full of shoulds and ought tos and that were constructed by the 9-bit mind. And so it cannot possibly grasp what your true self can comprehend that goes beyond words and language. So instead of thinking about it so much, this work is calling us to breathe into our experience and just ask ourselves regularly, what do we really want? How do we like what we've created so far? What might we choose differently? And then build on that. Let some momentum get going as we learn to ask these questions and keep our eyes wide open to live in that observation, as it says, prior to every breath. And as we build that level of commitment and dedication and focus, we'll start to see different results in our lives. At least that's the suggestion, that's the invitation of way in, of mastery. So, you know, we can have our plans for the day. We can start out hoping, intending this, that, and the other thing are going to happen. And then we keep our eyes wide open. And when it unfolds, we're invited to welcome it and say, oh, well, this is far different than what I had planned. I wonder how this is going to turn into a blessing. I wonder how this is going to turn out better than anything I had planned. I wonder how this is going to give me an opportunity to be a blessing to myself and others. I wonder how this might lead me to interact with people I would never would have met if things had gone the way I wanted them to today. Mm. And as I step into that kind of active questioning throughout my day, I open myself to a level of experience that I don't get any other way. I can't get if I'm trying to force the world to turn out the way I think it should. So while it is a really good idea to take responsibility for the things I do have control over, it's also really, really not productive to keep focused, my conscious mind focused on things I don't have any control over. I routinely have people in my office and they are just all wrought up in stress and upset because they're watching news channels or YouTube channels that say all these horrible things are happening and all of those things are, those people are out to get us. And, right. And it's all about stuff that they have no control over. Recently, I was having a conversation with somebody. He said, yeah, he had this person, he listened to their YouTube channel and man, did they make sense to him. And he thought, this guy's really intelligent. And he had this interview with this world leader and it was just amazing. And yeah, there's so much going on that's wrong. And then the person I was talking to said, and then he just leaves it there. He doesn't say, here's what to do. He just said, all of this is going wrong. All these people are out to screw you. These governments are lying to you. These governments are trying to tell you the truth. But he doesn't give you any way out. Mm. He just, you know, yells at the audience, wake up. You know, you're being hoodwinked. You're being lied to. All these horrible things are happening. But there's not a single word about here's what you should do to fix it. Mm. So I keep encouraging people to take responsibility for the things you have control over. And in this work, the primary thing you have control over is what are you doing with your mind energy? How are you choosing the focus of your conscious awareness in each new present moment? And that is what creates your experience of life. And Way of Mastery and Course in Miracles are continually suggesting or inviting us to choose love over fear. Choose to be a conscious co-creator with the flow of life. So at this point in time, I would normally say, well, we've got about 5 or 6 minutes left, and here's our call-in number, but we're on Podbean today, and I the only way to get a hold of us is to press the heart. Did you say you pressed?
Yeah, Jeannie told me that I should put MindShifter in the search. MindShifter came right up, and I'm a follower, and so it came right up, and it was a picture of Michael and Jeannie. So I tapped the picture and nothing happened. Then I did a couple of other things and Safari told me I did not have access because of some kind of blocker I'm using, which I have no idea what that is. So I kept texting poor Jeannie and she said, tap the heart. Well, there was no heart anywhere to be seen. So then she took a screenshot and sent me that. I couldn't find it. But I just went into the search. I think she suggested to do that and write MindShifter in there. Sure enough, Michael and Jeannie's picture popped up, and with it was a heart picture. And then suddenly I was in a different place, and it looks very different. I still haven't. Now I'm getting, thank you for listening. If you like the show, lend your support, send a gift. Okay, they've got that.
Yeah, and, I keep getting that too. But so what did you push to be able to talk?
It was a heart icon. It says MindShifter Radio, MindShifter's Radio. It says live 4, total 74. I wonder if we're acting like a switchboard here and that we can see how many listeners there are. In any case, and then there are these numbers. And with and a picture of an icon, it's black and white or gray and white. And number 5, call in. Number 6, call in. Well, my name is there, Susan B. So I figured that was a call-in one, and I pushed it. And sure enough, then you started being able to hear me.
Okay.
So I don't know how to, I'm afraid to hang up because I might lose the whole show. But
at the bottom, next to where it says input your message, there's probably send the show to somebody and then a microphone. If you tap the microphone, it should mute you.
Yeah.
It should what? It
mutes you.
It should mute you.
Oh.
So for all of the rustling noise with your hat and whatnot, if you in the future you want to stay on but not be heard, you can tap that little microphone.
I just did it and I saw that it did mute me, and I'm gonna mute it again, and I think I won't lose you. So that's great. I will do that. But I just wanted to say the whole practice of two-way prayer, it has led me into what I guess is another healing crisis or something. I mean, the immediacy of the ideas and presence was really amazing at first. Now it's calmed down, but I'm writing them down just the way you said. And if I'm walking, I speak them into my notes. You can use the microphone. And I had one thing I did want to say that was so good. Let's see if I can find it without losing everybody. Yeah. Every expectation you have of me is a limitation. I thought that was a great thought.
Absolutely. Because we can only have expectations in the realm of thought. And the consciousness or the unconditional love that you're inviting to speak to you is not confined to what you can think about it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm very glad that you're having some positive experience with that letters from unconditional love or two-way prayer, whatever you're choosing to call it.
Well, yeah, thanks. It is. It's another tool at this point. I really value it, and I don't mean to take it off of a place of great importance, but I had to do a wake-up sheet. I've told you about this person at my church who I want her to like me. I want her to like me, and so oftentimes God talks to me about this and how old this issue is, and anyway, some of the stuff is really good. So,
Well, I hope you have continued success with that, just as Elizabeth Gilbert mentioned.
Yeah.
She gave a specific situation where, you know, love told her to go get a plane ticket and go make amends with an old acquaintance or friend. So,
yeah.
So I realize that we're, according to my...
Oh, yeah, we're at the end.
We're at the end of that first hour. So I will thank you for calling and remind us all that we come from love. We're made of the stuff we call love. We actually are love, and everything else is false. And I'll welcome Jeannie Rice to try and...
Thank you.
Come on.
Can you all hear me now?
Jeannie, you're extremely soft.
That's really weird. I'm not sure...
So I'll mute myself and see if it comes out longer. Have a great second half of the show.
Thank you, Dr. Tim. And so, Michael, I see that you are on as a list.